Girls and boys, it's been a long time since I tried to make a sermon for you. But today it is again the first day of the month, Sunday of the month, so that's always been my desire to preach, thinking mostly about children. Children, I'm excited. Because I had a little phone call yesterday. And I kind of heard that someone special might be coming. I know you got those phone calls like that too sometimes, when grandma or grandpa from overseas would call you and says, I'm coming to visit you. Right? I heard about that. I had to pray for it in school when I was teaching you. Some of the younger ones would ask me, and you look forward to that coming visit of your grandparents or aunts and uncles or friends from overseas. And so there are in this world children and adults that are looking for the most special visitor to come, not from overseas, not from outer space, but from even farther than that, from heaven. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I think that's special. There is no more specialer person to come to visit the earth than Jesus, our Lord and our only Savior. Are you one of them that are looking forward to that? Are you one of those children that sometimes stand looking at the clouds? And I think about perhaps about the words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 24. And this is what he said. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They're not all going to be happy about this visitor. I hear that. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory. And you may be asleep when that happens, but you won't. Stay asleep. Because Jesus said there will be a big trumpet sound waking up everyone. We're all going to see him. On the clouds, Jesus, the one that the disciples saw going up and up and up, and finally the clouds hid him. Now the clouds are going to part, as it were, and we're going to see him. Exciting! Exciting? You think it is exciting? Beautiful? Ah, when I have a special visitor coming and I go to Wellington Airport, you stand by the door and you're waiting and you're waiting. You see the other person's coming, next person and next person. Yeah, there he is. Are you thinking that way about Jesus coming? Is that how we are? You have to answer that for yourself. Now when Jesus comes again, it's been a while. 2,000 years. That's right. And when Jesus came, there were a lot of people thinking he's not going to come. 4,000 years before they came finally, when Jesus was promised to come. A long time before he finally came. But don't forget, children, that when Jesus comes on these clouds, he's not coming the same way as he came in a little baby in Bethlehem's manger. I got to keep that in mind. when he came into Bethlehem's manger, there'll be lots of time yet. But when he comes in the clouds, there's no more time anymore. That's it. I will not preach anymore on that day. I will no more invite you to come to Jesus. That's over then. My task will be done as ambassador of this great King. Yeah, no more. But now, today, my task is not done here. I'm still here to tell you about Jesus' first coming. And when Jesus first came to earth, he didn't come with a sword. No, he didn't. He didn't came with chains. As a big police officer would, right? To arrest you and throw you in jail. No, he didn't. And he came for the first time. He came with his hands open. He came with his arms spread out. And he came with a message. Child, I'm here for you. You need me. You need me. Because you are lost in sin. Because you are having a heart that's sinful. I'm here because you need me, because God in heaven is angry with what you're doing and what you are thinking and what you are saying. He's not happy with you for what we are like. But I'm here seeking children, adults, of course, also. And I see you, children. You're chasing shadows to hide yourself from what is a fearful to you. That's not helping, is it, kids? To chase a shadow, to escape something fearful? That's not going to work. And Jesus sees that. He says, come to me, I'm like a shield. Not a shadow. I'm a shield to hide you. Jesus has come here because he sees we are lost and in bondage and we're loving the wrong things and we're loving ourselves way too much, more than God. And he has come that first time because you need him. Well, he came not just because you need him. He came first of all because God sent him to tell us that in this heart of God, there's not only anger, there's a huge mound of love. He didn't want us to sink into their pit. As we chose to jump in it. Stupid. Wrong. Dishonorable. Wrong what we did. All wrong. And what happened when Jesus came from heaven? Guess what? He went into our pit. It's an amazing story of love, isn't it? Jesus said it this way, I didn't come to condemn the world. I could have ended this, but I came to save the world. That's his first coming. And my dear master, he is still very tender-hearted. He is still the welcoming master. You know that text, right? You probably memorized it. His name is Wonder. Full of wonders. His name is Counselor. It means he got answers. All the answers. He is the answer. His name is Prince of Peace. He's not a Prince of War. He's Prince of Peace. He seeks our peace. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Remember that picture I showed you when I walked off the pulpit, right? From that other minister that I heard that from. Jesus came down to earth, into our pit, to carry sinful children and sinful men and women back to God. That is his first coming. Have you answered him, children? Have you answered Jesus' call? Going home after church. Don't forget about the sermon. Go find your bedroom for a moment. Go answer Jesus. Yeah, answer him. Talk to him. Do you talk to him? You talk to Jesus? It's like you talk to your mom, dad? Hopefully not the way you talk to your mom and dad sometimes. But I mean, do you tell him your story of your pain, your sin, your sorrow? There's many children that never talk to Jesus, also in this church. Also many adults who don't do that, apparently. And why is that? Because they don't really know why they need to speak to him. Oh yeah, we know we're sinners. We've heard that all our life. We do wrong things. That's right. I was listening yesterday to a sermon from Stephen Charnock, Puritan. Beautiful sermon. Way too difficult for you children, so I won't ask you to go read it. But the thing I really liked about what he said, he says, the reason that we think so little about sin is because we have such little understanding of who God is. God is not big in our minds. We are big. But if we see how big God is and how great he is and how wonderful he is and how, then we will see how big sin is. That's a big deal, you know. That's a big deal when you would slap your father in his face. Wouldn't that be a big deal? Would it be a big deal when you spit in your dad's face? That is a big deal. And that's what I do when I sin. Knowingly sin. And I know what is wrong and I do it even though the little voice tells me, Bible tells me, it's like me slapping this big God in his face. Horrific. The thought, isn't it? That's why I need Jesus. Because children, I have kicked God. I have spit on God. I have slapped God in his face. I have blasphemed God. I have offended God. And that is a big deal. And that's why I need a big Jesus. Because I can never, never make it right anymore. And I am so joyful he came the first time. And so thankful that God sent his son to come for a sinner like me. And like you. But he's coming again. And the second time he comes, he doesn't come like a little baby, like a young man, like an adult that looks like us. He comes in the glory of God. And all the earth shall see him, it says, and all the earth shall mourn and shake. Now that is, of course, the people that are not ready for him. Undoubtedly, even God's children will have a tremor in their heart. But the second time Jesus comes, he comes to save his people. He doesn't come to save the world anymore. That's done. But when he comes again, he comes to save his people out of this world. He comes to bring him into paradise. Listen to how John ends his beautiful book of Revelation. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. John saw in his mind this beautiful paradise. Gorgeous. Splendid. What was so beautiful about it? Well, he tells us. You know what the most beautiful part of that? New earth and new heaven is? Jesus will be there. Jesus will be there. Not where he's now. In the glory of God in heaven. He will be walking, talking, sitting, singing with us. Who is us? All those who have answered his call in the gospel. His first coming. And Jesus will be with us, with his people, instead of living far away like our grandparents or some of our grandparents do. And what's so beautiful about it there? All and only true Jesus lovers will be there. And John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. He's talking about all the Jesus lovers who come down from heaven and they're prepared by God as a bride adorned for her husband. He says they have been beautified. They have been totally cleansed. They have been completely made new by God. No more sinful heart, no more sinful tongue, no more indifferent ideas about God, none of that anymore. We will then be perfect, beautiful. And John goes on. Everything will be perfect and beautiful and joyful. Listen to this. And God himself, as it were, shall wipe away all the tears. I always picture that God has a little hanky in it. He wipes away all the tears out of people's eyes. There shall be no more death. That means no more separation. No more. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. No more sin. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Beautiful. All things new. And there will be not a single child, nor a single adult, who doesn't love Jesus. And that's what our text says in Malachi chapter 4. And we're going to go there now, after we sing together. So let's sing Psalm 123, the first verse. And let us pray together whether that's about me. If I have forgotten the name of our God. Let's sing that standing up. 123 verse 1. Let's listen now to God speaking to us from Malachi chapter 4. And let's read verse 1, 2, and 3 again. So if you can read, children, will you please read along in your Bible? And if you can't find that book, then maybe let your mom or dad give you a little help. So Malachi chapter 4. This is God speaking to you. For behold, the day is coming. It's not going to be a joyful day for everyone. Listen good. The day is coming that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, they all that do wickedly, they shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. That it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and ye shall grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down, ye shall trample down the wicked and all the evil. And for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Notice the word saith the Lord. That's twice in our text. It didn't say said the Lord like way back when Malachi wrote this. No, saith. That is God just thought, God just spoke that to us. Day is coming. Now I want to focus with you on the second part. Jesus promised to the God-fearing, verse 2, particularly. So there's two questions that we need to try to answer this morning. Who are the God-fearing, or rather, am I God-fearing? Listen for yourself. Second, what is his promise? Am I God-fearing? It says, unto you that fear my name. There's a but there. Those that don't fear my name, they'll be just burned like stubble on the fields. And that become ashes. Gone. Done. But unto you that fear my name, then my coming is not going to be burning like an oven. It's going to come with healing. God-fearing children, what are they like? They're children that love the Lord, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're children that love God. And the word fear that we find in our text means that you treat him like someone that's special to you. That's what that means. To fear God is you treat him as being special. Mom and dad are special to you, right? And if I say something bad about your dad, I'm sure that I'm going to get a little bit of you on me. You're going to be a little angry with me. Why? Because dad is special to you. If you fear God, and God is special to you. Not you're afraid of him, though of course you will always have some respect that might make you a little bit fearful because he's a big God, you remember? But the fear means here, and I can translate it that way too, but unto you that love my name. Maybe now you understand what that means. Love my name. You love my name. If you love the Lord, you want to please him. I know some of you have grandparents in your house after a long, long time away, but even if they don't live far away, I get sometimes a little card for my grandchildren. I think you make those too for your grandparents, don't you, kid? And you say, well, you're the most wonderful opa, or you're the most wonderful oma, or grandma, or grandpa, or whatever you call them. And you get excited when you may stay at their house. Because you love them. And they are special to you. And you might want to do some special things. Maybe if they're coming from overseas and staying at your house, I wouldn't be surprised you've made some breakfast in bed for them. Right? Or you'd love to sit down with a book and cuddle up and sit next to them and have them read to you. And you make a beautiful picture to hang in their bedroom. Now, if you fear God, you also will be asking sometimes, Lord, what could I do for thee? I just want to let thee know how special thou art. Well, you can't make a cart for God, right? Don't have to make breakfast for God. That's not going to work. So how can I? Now, that's a question for you to answer. Maybe talk about today. Mom, Dad, what can I do to show to God that He's special to me? And if that really is in your heart, that is because you have in your heart a love to God. Those that fear Him. Those are the children that want to be close to God. If you love your parents and your grandparents, I know you want to be close to them. You don't like the idea to be far away or to be very far away from them. You miss seeing them. And so it is with those that fear the Lord. I've never seen Jesus, but I miss seeing Jesus. I've never seen Him with my eyes, but I can't wait to see Him with my eyes. And to behold this glory of God in a human body glorified. Those that fear Him, they will long to see Him, to be close to Him. And that's, of course, then you would always pray. Then you're not going to say, oh, I have to pray again. No. Though not always will we have the same desire to pray, but if you really fear the Lord, you want to talk to God. You want to open your Bible and read, even though sometimes it's hard to understand. And you long to come to church because you know that's where God speaks. When you fear the Lord, you love the Lord, and you love hearing about Him because you want to know more about Him. The other day, I got a book in my hand. Okay, this is not going to happen to many of you, I suppose, but it happened to me. I got a book in my hand written about my dad. And there were lots of things in that book that I didn't even know about my dad. That was really, really quite exciting. And I want to know more now about him. So I'm asking my mother more about him. I lost my dad when I was 19. So yeah, I didn't know him very long. Now I want to know more about him. That's the same with God. I want to know more about Jesus. If you fear the Lord, you're never happy with what you know of Him. But the more you know of Him, the more you're hungry to know more of Him. Yeah? Those that fear the Lord, they will respect Jesus. They respect Him. They'll defend Him. I can't stand it when someone talks bad about my father. I've heard that from time to time. That makes me so angry. Because I knew the man better than anybody else knew that don't know him, except I know him as a father. And when I hear them say things about my dad that are slanderous, wrong, and they've done that to me, I get angry. But I get it even more when I do it about Jesus. Not enough, though, but I do. And I wonder if you do that too, children. Do you get angry when kids at school or kids in your family or adults around you speak bad about God? If you fear the Lord, you would want to stand up. Maybe you don't dare. I don't always dare either, but I want to. I would want to speak up. I don't have the courage always to say something. Maybe you don't either. But at least you don't join them, right? If you love Him. If you fear Him, let's think about one more. You feel sad about sin in yourselves and in others. Yeah. Because if you love the Lord, and if you love who He is, then you would feel really kind of bad, don't you? When people are doing bad things. Lying, stealing, showing disrespect. You know, sometimes I hear about children that are hurting animals. And yet, kids, when I hear that, I get angry with you. Because God loves those animals. And He doesn't like it when you hurt them, because they're His creatures. You get that? See, then I'm hurting because God is not respected. And sometimes, children, I hear of this really bad attitude that some of you have, talking about the townies. And I get angry. As if the townies are worse kids than the non-townies are. And I want to warn you, you're hurting not only these children that you put down, you're hurting the Creator of these children. And if you fear the Lord, you would stand up in your classroom and you'd say, let's stop this talking down of other people. What difference does it make if you live in the city or you live in the not in the city. It's just this. It's not right. If you love the Lord, you're not going to accept this. Because you know these are God's creatures. And especially these people are made in His image. They're special to God. Don't forget. Now, fear the Lord. If you love Him, last thing, you want to be like Him. You want to be like Jesus. Nothing seems happier to you than to be like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to be gentle, to be giving. Now you don't want people to notice you. If you love the Lord and fear the Lord, you don't walking there with your chest up and now look at me. No. But you do walk through life hoping that people will notice Jesus in you. And you ask in the morning, Lord, help me to speak, help me to work, help me to love in this way that people may feel Thou living in me. But unto you that fear my name. Now don't think, children, that those that fear Him and love Him are perfect children. No one is perfect. Even Noah got drunk. Child of God. Even David committed adultery. Killed a man. Child of God. Abram lied twice. Child of God. Peter denied Him and he fell flat on his face swearing, I don't know Him. Child of God. So don't think that if you fear the Lord, you're always going to be perfect. That's not the case. If you love the Lord, you need the Lord, and you want to love the Lord. Let's sing together one more time of Psalter 278 before we conclude with our last thought about the promise that's coming. And let's just do verse 2, 1 and 4 of 278. Yeah, God knows, like a tender love, that He has as a father, that all His children are still very weak. Yeah, and still the Lord loves as a father loves. So 1 and 4 of 278. We'll stand again. Thank you. unto you that fear my name. I know. I'm going to ask you again, are you one of those God-fearing boys and girls? I'm hopeful indeed there is a number of them you hear this morning. That in their child years, begun to love and fear the Lord. If that's the case, children, thank God for that. Thank God for that. If you fear and love the Lord, you already are experiencing the healing power of the Son of Righteousness. The Son of Righteousness is none else but Jesus. It's the picture of Jesus. And if you may fear Him and love Him, even though it comes very short of everything, the Son of God is already shining in your heart. Now there might be some of you that are too shy to admit that you love the Lord. I was a teacher once. I had a boy in year nine. Ninth grade. No, year 10. He was one of my worst students ever. Mouthy. Rebellious. Never had to do that in my life. I had to stop in the middle of my closing prayer and send the kid out of the classroom. That's how bad he was. About 4 years later, I met that young man again. He's now in the year 12 high school, I think. And I'll call him a different name to hide his identity. Let's call him Peter. And I says, Peter, when you were in my 10th grade classroom, were you lying? And he put his face down. I saw tears coming out of his eyes. He says, yes, I was. What was he lying about? About what he felt in his heart. He says, I love the Lord. I had a tender conscience. I wanted to honor Him. But I didn't dare to let any of my peers know that. I was so shy, ashamed of who I was. As if I am a strange boy. But in my heart, it was totally different than how I talked. Are there boys and girls like that here too? Too afraid that anybody would think you was one of these fine ones that fear the Lord. Don't be afraid of that, children. This Peter, he walked with a lot of sorrow about that. He'll never forget that year. That was a bad year. Right? But he feared the Lord. So maybe some of you are too shy to admit what lives in your heart. Often happens in teenage years. Or maybe you're struggling to think that you really fear the Lord because there's so much else going on in your life. You feel you're not good enough, you're not consistent enough, you feel so often. Children, bring it at the feet of Jesus. Bring it at His feet. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Share it with Him. Tell Him out what is in your heart. But I'm also kind of sad to think that there are still many children here that don't fear the Lord or love Him. Children, that hurts me more than anything else. When I see you devote your time, your energy, all your youthful strength, all your youthful beauty to this life here below. And that kind of hurts me. Your youthful years belong to God. Those are your best years. And he has lots of strength, lots of time, lots of abilities to learn of him. Think of the hours that some of you are spending on your phone. I'm challenging you this summer to fetch a book out of that library in the back of the hall. Oh, those are tough books, but you are smart, as you are always, knowing everything, it sounds like it. But where's the last time that you picked up a book and plowed to the pages? Maybe one page a day to learn about God. Oh, I know these YouTubers, they can tell you everything about bikes and about this and that, but what about God? And that hurts me. The thing that you waste years of your special life and numb your mind with all that which really at the end will only be baggage, that's not going to help you. I plead with you. And why? Because Jesus is coming. And now look at that promise. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. You know what his promise is to the God-fearers? I'm coming to finish what I began in you. And when he comes, children, listen to this. I'm going to come with healing. It's like that sun this morning rose from the sky. In the sky, so the Son of Righteousness will arise on the clouds of heaven, and he shall come with healing. He will wipe away the tears. He will do more than that. He says, you shall go forth. And the word go forth is a Hebrew expression of you will be delivered. It's the words that they're describing when Israel is taken out of Egypt. You go forth. And God says, when I'm coming, the children that fear me, when I'm coming, I will let you go forth. I will deliver you. Deliver you from what? From every sinful thought that still comes in my heart. From the evil desires that still come up in my mind. From the mouthy tongue that sometimes I give to my mother or father. From the pride mind. He will deliver me. Of me. He will deliver me from all that is sinful. He will arise with healing in his wings. He will banish also all the doubts. Doubts? Yeah, doubts. Fears. He will banish all the enemies. He will make us perfect. Because look, he shall grow up as calves of the stall. Now, what's that like? Calves of the stall. You grow up as calves of the stall. Its idea is the joyful. When the calves are let go into the paddock, you know that, they just jump around like, you know, they're wonderfully joyful. That picture. We shall go and be delivered, and we shall grow up as calves of the stall. Unbounding joy shall fill our hearts when Jesus will welcome us. Come into my kingdom that I have prepared for you. And that I prepared for you by my death and by my coming to this earth the first time. What a joy when Jesus will come and he will swoop us in his arms and he will carry us in the presence of his Father with exceeding great joy. Totally without fault and without flaw will he present his bride that he has bought free and cleansed to his Father. Wow. What an awesome day that will be. When he shall deliver those that fear his name and he shall bring them indeed never again to be disturbed. Now, as I said in my prayer this morning, it may be that the world is becoming much more dark, and we must not be surprised about that. If you read your Bible, you know that's going to happen. It's just the question is when. And it seems like the when is becoming clearer, right? It seems like what Revelation, I think, 9 or 10 says that the locusts are coming out of the bottomless pit. The locusts that are the evil spirits that are blowing into our society. It's not very encouraging. I know it's not encouraging, right? But look up! The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And all those wicked locusts, wicked evils, wicked people, we shall tread them down as the ashes under the soles of our feet one day. Now, children, that's what I want to close with. Maybe you feel a little worried about all the bad things happening in the world and more to come. And it's true. We must not deny it. It's very possible that the dreamy life that most of us have lived, myself included, is going to be over. In my lifetime still. I sometimes think that. I think that actually a lot. I wonder if I'll end my life in prison rather than in a home. I do not know. Paul ended there. Why would I not end there? But I don't let these thoughts trouble me. When these thoughts trouble me, I'm soaring up to heaven, reminding Jesus of his promise. Thou hast promised, Lord, thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us. And that thou wilt come again. And no matter how difficult and dark it is, think about these big storm clouds packing up in the skyline. You know, behind those storm clouds, sun shines in all its glory. Keep that in mind, children. Keep that in mind. It's possible that someday the Voice of the Martyrs magazine will write about the church in Carterton. That's possible. But keep in mind the promise that if you fear his name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. Jesus is coming. Amen. Let's pray. Blessed Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. There's no reason to doubt that thy promise will be fulfilled. That thou wilt arise with the final healing in thy wings. And will deliver all those that fear thy name from wherever they are. And forever, wherever they suffer. Thou wilt come. Thy first coming is the guarantee of thy second coming, Lord Jesus. And thou did come. And thou wilt come. Prepare us for that day. Encourage those among us that fear thy name to look forward to that day. Oh, blessed Lord, thank thee for all those boys and girls in our midst that do fear thy name and that do love thee, and help them to walk in that every day. But also those boys and girls, Lord, and those young and old of us that are proud and wicked or indifferent or cold or have no such inward exercises. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Have mercy upon us. And turn now us to be to thee. And change our hearts, O Lord, and unite our hearts to the fear of thy blessed name. Oh, blessed God, let us not leave this place this morning without answering, without calling, without crying, without coming to Thee. Draw us. Overpower us. Humble us. Save us. In Jesus' name, amen.